Well, good morning again. Glad you're here on this Easter Sunday. I want to talk to you today about pennies. Have you ever heard the term, every penny counts? How many times have you walked by a penny, looked at it, and just walked on by? What do pennies have to do with Easter? Well, I'll get to that shortly. But what is Easter all about? What is Easter all about? You know, it's amazing some of the ideas that people have about Easter, especially children. I'm reminded of a story I heard about Easter. Teacher tells it. A teacher at a Christian school, a younger class, elementary grade, I think. But she asked the class, what happens at Easter? And a little girl in the back raised her hand. She said, April showers bring May flowers. And the teacher was a little perplexed and said, no. Then another one raised her hand and they said, that's when the Easter bunny lays their eggs. And now this is a Christian school and the teacher's getting real concerned about what's going on here. And so somebody toward the front raised her hand and said, she called on them, they said, Easter is when Jesus was born and we give each other gifts. And the teacher thought, well, it's getting a little bit spiritual at least. And then a young man in the front raised his hand. He talked kind of in broken sentences and slow and deliberate. And she said, yes, Eddie, what happens at Easter? And he said, Jesus died and was buried in a cave and he came out. And the teacher was just getting exhilarated. And then Eddie went on to say, and if he goes back in, we'll have 6 more weeks of winter. What's Easter all about? I want to say that we're not here to celebrate or to observe a religious holiday. We're here to proclaim the majestic, world-changing fact. The living Savior is not a figment of our imagination. It's a presence of His Spirit moving among us. He's alive. And He wants to move on our hearts today, every one of us, including mine. Maybe as He never has before. I want to begin by reading some scripture excerpts, and I'm just going to ask you to look at them on the screen, because it's not, if you want to try to flip and catch up with them, you can, but I'm not taking the whole passages, I'm taking excerpts from them, and so we're going to go through them to really set up what happens at Easter and what it's about. The first one is from 1 John, the book of 1 John, chapter 3 and verse 8. And it says, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that is, He came, that He might destroy the works of the devil. And then John 14 says, because I live, Jesus is speaking, because I live, you will live also. And then in 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, it says, but now Christ is risen from the dead. And then verse 22 says, for as in Adam, all die, even so in Christ, all shall be made alive. He means Adam and Eve, when they fell in the garden, then everybody died spiritually. Everybody that was born after that was born dead spiritually, but through Christ, they'll be made alive and can be made alive. And then in verses 51 and 52 of that chapter, We shall not all sleep. That means we might not all die, but we shall be changed, all changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible with a new body, and we shall be changed. And then verse 55 says, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? And 57 says, But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you today about three significant things of Easter, about Easter. First, the victory that Easter offers. The victory that Easter offers. Second thing is the enemy that Easter confronts. And then the third thing is the Savior that Easter honors. The Savior that Easter honors. And to kind of illustrate that, I'm going to tell you a story. It's a true story. It's not my story, but it's a true story. But so that it best illustrates the message today, I'm going to tell it in the present tense. And it's a story about pennies. It begins about 3 weeks before Easter several years ago. I had just finished a breakfast meeting at IHOP. Walked out to the car and opened the door to get in. And I looked, and as I got to the door and opened it, I saw a penny laying down on the pavement in the parking lot. And I looked at it and I thought, hey, it's not worth the effort to pick up. You know, you can tell you get old, like when you lean over to tie your shoes and you think, what else can I do while I'm down here to make it worth it? But as I got in the car, I sensed the Lord speaking. Not something thought out or conjured up in my own mind or in any way out of human contemplation. My thought had already been given. It's not worth picking up. But I knew in my heart what I heard was from God. I heard Him say, it's still one. It's still one. I knew immediately God was speaking to me, speaking to my heart. To me, everyone, He's saying, everyone. He was talking about people, not pennies. Every person is precious to me, is what He was saying. And I knew at that moment the Lord was focusing me and directing my attention to Easter about 3 weeks away. To the people that would be coming. People in all sorts of circumstances. Some never having touched or been touched by Jesus. Every person here today counts. Every person here today counts. Each one is precious to God. No matter what. No matter what. You see, what God was doing there is He wanted to heighten and increase my sensitivity to that fact. Everyone counts. And so I reached out and reached down by the car and picked that penny up. And over the next 3 weeks, I had no idea what God was going to do with pennies. I found over a dozen pennies during that three-week period. Never once looking for one or thinking about finding one. One day, walking through the mall, I was walking through the mall with people, and over to the left was a big planter with a big cantilever seating area around it. One of those big concrete shelves around with a planter in the middle where people could sit and rest. And I'm just walking by and I have no idea, but I saw over underneath there in the shadow, a penny. And I stopped. And I knew God wanted me to go get it. And my first thought was, what are all these people going by going to think? You know, he's going over there. And then especially if they see it's a penny, you think, man, that guy's hard up. He'll probably be down at the fountain next trying to fish quarters out. But actually, I went over and reached down in the shadow and got that penny, and no one even noticed me. Put it in my pocket. Another day, I was just walking down the street on the sidewalk in there, right out in the open. A shiny penny. So I picked it up and put it in my pocket. You know, they just began periodically to pop up unexpectedly. Now, there was one that took a really hard decision to make. I was crossing a busy street, and I got out there, and there it was, right in the street, a penny. Now, there's cars coming from both directions, and I had time to get across, but I didn't have time to pick up the penny, stop and pick up the penny, unless I wanted to be left there with the penny. So I hurried on across the street, and when I got to the other side, I stopped, and I turned around, and I waited for traffic to clear. And I went back out in the street and got that penny. The penny was flattened on one edge. It was something that God said, as I looked back in the street to go get it, watching for traffic, he said, it's still one. And when I picked it up and I got to it and I went back across the street, it was flattened on one edge, it was scuffed, it was pitted from being tires being skidded on it and the gravel being ground over it. It had been run over. It was worthless, really. It wouldn't even pass in the store as a penny. They wouldn't accept it as money. You know, I didn't need the pennies, but I needed the message that God was showing me with them. One day, a little later, I came into the house through the utility room, and there on the washer, on top of the washer, a penny was laying there. So I called into the kitchen to my wife, hey, what's this penny on top of the washer for, honey? And she says, oh, it was rattling around in the washer, and somebody must have left it in their pants. And I put it out and laid it up there and forgot about it. So I picked it up and added it to the collection. There were probably, as I said, more than a dozen pennies over that three-week period, but I'm just going to tell you about one more. And the last one I'm going to tell you about, you're going to love it. It was about a week before Easter. I was flying back from a conference in Miami to get back across country, and weather had delayed the flight several times. Didn't think I was going to get out of there, but finally, late that evening, I got out, and I had a connecting flight in Atlanta. And I had about 30 minutes till the flight left, so I walked into the men's room. And as I walked over to the urinal, there it was on the floor beside the urinal. Obviously, looking around, it had been a very busy day in the airport that day, at least in that bathroom. And made me wonder if the attendants had even gotten around that day. And so, you know, I looked down and then I looked away. And I waited till there was one guy in there and he walked out. And when he walked out, I went over to the sink to wash my hands. And I got about 25 paper towels. And I went back and I took some and I kind of blotted the floor around the penny, threw them away. And then somehow with the other handful of towels, I got that penny up in there and I took it over to the sink, dropped it in the sink. And then I used all the soap in both dispensers. And then about 5 minutes, that was the cleanest penny in circulation in the U.S. This is a true story. It's not made up. Every penny God was using to speak to my heart about how he feels about people. On a Friday before Easter, I was on the phone with a pastor friend of mine, and we were talking. He wanted to know what I was preaching on Easter Sunday, what the message was going to be. And I told him about the pennies and what had been happening over the last 3 weeks, and of course told him about the last penny. And he said, you know, that's really a great message. He said, people are going to come up to you afterwards, and they're going to tell you, that's a great message, but none of them are going to shake your hand. See, through this penny journey that God took me on, I was reminded by each penny how God feels about people and different circumstances that they're in. And I'll come back to the penny story in a minute, but I want to touch on the scriptures that we read earlier, because God's word is what gives us revelation. Revelation of what he's up to, and especially about his salvation, especially at Easter. And so again, I want to talk about the victory Easter offers, the enemy Easter confronts, and the Savior Easter honors. And the first one is the victory it offers. The victory it offers is victory over Satan. Easter offers victory over Satan. Today, psychiatrist, Gracie, can we get that slide up? Today, psychiatrists and psychologists acknowledge dark, sinister forces that plague human existence. The spirit world, it's real. They even acknowledge, some even acknowledge demons. Jesus talked a lot and dealt a lot with demons, as we read in the Bible. And he dealt with the devil with authority, casting out demons. And when he did, things changed in people. Things changed in people. 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose Jesus was manifested or came, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came and died on a cross and was raised from the dead to destroy the works of the devil. You see, Jesus has the keys to set people free from depression, self-destructive behavior and addictions, things that control and compel mind, body, and soul. There's choices that we make in our own flesh that have nothing to do with the devil. But once you make repeated concessions to those things, then the devil moves in and he captures you in them. And there's no human power that can break the chains that he wraps around you. See, when Jesus rose from the dead, he gained victory over darkness. Hallelujah. Easter is about Jesus' ability to break the bondages of hell that hold people captive in all walks of life. From the shiniest penny to the most rusted, scuffed, and runover ones. You see, the adversary comes to lie and to deceive. And Jesus came to break his power. Jesus is truth. Jesus is life. And Jesus is liberty. There are people here today, many of you, who have been set free by him. And there's others here who can be set free. The victory Easter offers is over Satan. The second thing is the enemy that Easter confronts is death. The enemy that Easter confronts is death. Now, when we think about death, I want us to think about farther than just the span of our human life, because that's not the end. I want us to think even beyond that. Jesus said, because I live, you will live also. Because I live, you will live also. Jesus' resurrection confirmed that. It's not speculation. His disciples weren't a bunch of just gullible guys. Thomas doubted. And when they told him Jesus had risen, he said, no, I don't believe. I want proof. And Jesus gave him proof with his hands and his side. Jesus conquered death and says today to you, to all of us, you don't have to have fear of physical death dominate your thoughts and your response to life. Because I live, you will live also. And the Bible describes how that will happen in the Scripture. Let me read it to you. It's in 1 Corinthians that we looked at earlier. It says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Somehow, through the power of God, bodies will be resurrected from every circumstance. Bodies severely damaged, even completely incinerated. Bodies that disappeared in 9/11 or in plane crashes that have never been found will be brought back into resurrected form with Christ. And the proof of that future resurrection that Christians look forward to has already been proven by Jesus' resurrection from the grave. And he says, because I live, you will live also. And I'm coming back one day to take those who accept me and believe in me with me this time. Easter also, though, confronts another form of death, another kind of death, other than a 6-foot grave. You see, there are people here today living in a rut. And a rut is nothing more than a grave with both ends knocked out. Living in the valley of the shadow of death. You're moving, you're breathing, but you're not really living. Things in your life have died. Hopes, dreams, relationships, things that wither and waste. And Jesus comes to those situations and he says, let me breathe on it. Let me breathe life into it. Into those things. The enemy, Easter confronts and conquers, is death. Death. Both eternal death and the living death that we sometimes live. And then the last thing today is, I want to talk to you about the Savior that Easter honors. The Savior that Easter honors is Jesus. Easter affords people the opportunity. Those people, there's people here that have already made Christ your Savior. And Easter affords you the opportunity, who have done that, to honor him by allowing him to set you free from whatever is holding you back from going all in with Jesus. Not just putting your faith in him, but putting your life in him. Putting your life in him. Maybe you started with him some time ago, but for whatever reason, you moved away from God. You know, these things that you're facing, that you're caught up in, whatever, sin, pride, self-centeredness. And God wants you to hear his voice today. You're precious to him. You're one of his. He knows your name, your situation. He knows your struggles. And he's reaching to you right now, asking you to come back to him. Easter also affords the opportunity to honor Jesus by making him your Savior, by asking for forgiveness and putting your faith in him for the first time. And if you've never done that, I'm going to ask you to do that today, because you need a Savior from sin. Because without the forgiveness of the Savior. Without the forgiveness of sin that's necessary to stand before God, without forgiveness, you bear the weight of your own sin and eternal separation from God. Listen, that thought is neither entertaining nor is it just a theory. It's fact and it's a reality. It's a reality of truth. You see, Jesus calls everyone to make a decision. He says, if you're going to follow me, then there comes a point when you have to choose to do that. You have to choose to do that. Make a decision. It's why Jesus died for us. He bore the penalty of sin so we could have the option, the choice, to have eternal life. Yes, it is optional. It's a choice. Forgiveness now, presence, His presence daily, and then life eternally. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up now. And as I do that, I'm going to go back to the pennies, because I want to finish talking about the pennies. You know, Jesus talked about pennies in the Bible. There was a woman He talked about that had this great adornment necklace with coins in it around her neck, and she lost one of those coins. And it was valuable because at that time, what that represented was an engagement necklace to be engaged. And one of those coins was lost. It was like if you had an engagement ring today, ladies, and you lost the diamond out of it. It was precious. And Jesus tells a story about she looked and looked and looked, and she found it, and she rejoiced, and she invited people to rejoice with her because that one was precious. And then He talks about a widow woman, that she had two mites. In our time today, it would be two pennies. And she came to the temple to worship, and she brought those two pennies and those two mites and put them in the offering. And Jesus was watching, and He said, that's a heart for God. Amen. Jesus was telling those stories to tell us of God's heart for us, His love for us, His love for you. The penny story and the lessons that it's still one. Listen to me, everybody here, listen to me. Every person here is precious. You count in God's eyes. He set your value a long time ago, and He values you more than you probably value yourself. Now, we live in a world that devalues life. And yes, there's those who probably overvalue themselves, because they've never, ever been taught their true value. So they feel like they have to invent things, chase after things. And then pride takes over. And sometimes a self-proclaimed, hardened independence results that says, I'm going to make it on my own, no matter what. Now listen to me. The love of God comes to you today, and He says to everyone, you don't have to prove your worth to me. I already proved your worth to me when I sent Jesus. I proved your worth to me. See, there's people here that are like the shiny penny, right out in the open on the sidewalk. Life is good. Looks great on the outside. Things are fine. No struggles particularly. But you're still one. And everyone needs a Savior. Then there are some here like the penny in the shadows at the mall. People passing you by and you think, don't notice. Let me tell you, the Lord sees you in the shadow. The Lord sees you. The shadows may be shadows of shame, loneliness, depression or discouragement. People are just passing you by, but God pays attention to those in the shadows where nobody notices. Then there's some here like the penny in the street. Flattened, run over, scuffed and scarred. Having no value as a penny. I don't know what your situation is or was. Maybe you're watching us today on the internet and you're one of those pennies. But anywhere you are, you can hear my voice. And listen to me. The Lord is saying today to all of us, there's nothing too damaged in you. Nothing, no one too run over or beaten down that would cause Him, Jesus, not to reach down and pick you up. And hold you close. He says it's not only one, but He says it never loses its value. No matter how battered or beaten it becomes, you're still one. And you're still precious to Him. There's the penny found in the washer. There's people here that have been through the ringer, through the storms of life. And listen to me, you're still one and you're still precious to Him.
Amen.
And I don't want to make jest, and I don't want us to be laughing as we were in the earlier stories, because this is a serious and critical point for some people here today.
Yes, it is.
I told you about the penny in the bathroom. It was on the floor by the urinal. Because I didn't want to distract you from those three important points of Easter. But as I close, I want to tell you, it wasn't on the floor, it was in the urinal. You see, that was a decision, a willingness to be taught, that there is a God who will reach anywhere to reach your heart, because to Him there's nothing so impure, so unholy, so cast down, so defiled that He won't reach down and pick you up. You need to know that today. The fact that Jesus is alive today means He's willing and able to lift you from any place you are, from anything that holds you back or breaks you down. He has broken those things so He can offer you His liberty. His life. And He does it with His love, illustrated in the story of the pennies. There's no place that He won't reach for you. Even a urinal. I shared with you, there's two ways to honor God on Easter. For Christians, come back to Him, or to say to Him, you know, I know You, Lord, but there's stuff in my life that's holding me back from going all in, from really not just having faith in You, but putting my life in You and living every day for You. Would you say today, if you know that that's you, when you're a Christian and you know you have your faith in Christ and you've been born again, would you just say to Him in your own way, Lord, I give myself to You today. I give that part I've been holding back for myself. I release those things that are not of You. And I'm going all in for You. Do that right now, just where you're sitting. And then there's, I told you there's those obviously that have never really put their faith in Christ, never really been born again by the Spirit of God, never really let go and say, God, forgive me. I trust you. I told you today I was going to ask you to do that. And I'm asking you now, as you sit here, and you know you've never really given your heart to Christ. I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads. And you've never really given your heart to Christ. He's reaching for you right now, like he had me reach for those pennies in all those places. It doesn't matter where you are, where you've been. He's reaching for you. Would you be willing to reach back to him? You need a Savior. You need a Savior in this life, before this life is over. Jesus calls you to make a decision. The Bible says today, if he calls you, don't harden your heart. He's calling you today. Don't harden your heart. Maybe you've just been away from him for a while and you need to come back to him. Maybe you need to tell him that. And so that's the invitation this morning. For Christians and for those who need Christ as your Savior. Today is the day. Now is the time for salvation. If God's speaking to your heart today, why don't you just come forward right now. Just get up out of your seat and come forward and receive Christ or come back to Christ, whatever it may be. Don't let pride hold you back. Receive the invitation now. Christians, if you need to come back to him, you've been away, come. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, come now. Well, Pastor, why do you want me to get up and come? Because Jesus called everyone publicly. And he says, if you'll not profess me before people, I'll not profess you before the Father. It's not something shameful. It's a glorious thing. It's a happy thing. We sang, oh, happy day. You know, the Bible actually says when someone comes to Christ, angels in heaven rejoice. It's a big, big thing. Why don't you come and receive Christ today? Right now. Prayer partners, if you move around the auditorium, there'll be people around the auditorium. If you need Christ, they'll pray with you. They'll be at the back in the aisles. I'll be at the front here. Easter is about Jesus conquering death and giving eternal life. Maybe you need prayer. Whatever it may be, come this morning. Come now. Don't let him hold you back. Come to Christ. He'll change your life. He'll give you peace in the midst of your storms. Today is the day. Now is the time for salvation. The Lord's tugging at your heart. He says, don't harden it. Come now. Come to me. My arms are open. I want to welcome you and love you. Today is the day. Now is the time for salvation. Don't hold back. We all need a Savior. We all need the Savior. I came to Him over 30 years ago. Didn't make my life perfect, but it sure changed my life. And it changed your life today. He'll give you His love. He'll love you like no person can love you. You need prayer. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for Your word today. Thank You for this message about it's still one. People count. Every person counts because of You, because of Christ. And I pray, Lord, that maybe there's somebody here that just for whatever reason, couldn't get up. But God, they know they need a Savior. And I pray, Father, even in their seat, You come to us when we cry out to You wherever we are. And I just pray, Father, that people even right now in their seats are putting their faith in Christ, receiving Him as Savior, receiving His forgiveness, so that when they stand before God, He will say, Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Welcome to My kingdom. Lord, we all need the Savior. We need Jesus, the one true Savior, the only Savior. We thank You that we celebrate Him today. We celebrate what He's doing, what He's done in people's lives here, and what He'll do in the days ahead. God, we just thank You that when the world is going crazy around us, we can still have peace because of Christ. Because He lives, you will live also. And Father, we pray that as we bring you our tithes and our offerings, that God, you would take these as a token and a symbol of our gratitude towards you, our appreciation of you, and our love for you. And we give it in faith. And we give it with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, if you'll come and receive the tithes and offerings.